everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and today we're talking about Notre Dame football. Right now, they're in the middle of one of the best seasons in school history. They're 13-0 at the moment, they're ranked number 3 in the nation, and they'll be facing Clemson in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday. If the Fighting Irish can pull off an upset, they'll be moving on to another national championship. It's definitely an exciting time to be a Notre Dame football fan, but on the show today, we're welcoming back a very special guest, someone who not only played quarterback for the Fighting Irish, but led them to an unprecedented bowl victory over LSU. We've got lots to talk about with him, including that amazing bowl victory, coming up in just a moment. But first, make sure to follow us on Twitter, at ChiTalkSports, and hit me up personally. On Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Muji World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Muji World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Make sure to join the franchise in 2019 to celebrate their 20th anniversary season. You can purchase tickets right now by calling 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history next summer in Crestwood. So let's get back to the topic at hand, the Fighting Irish and their amazing season so far. Right now, they're undefeated, they have a chance to make it to another national championship, and it all starts with their high-powered offense. Quarterback Ian Book has had an outstanding season so far. He started the year as the backup, then came in and replaced Brandon Wimbush, and I'll tell you what, he hasn't looked back since. 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, a passer rating of 162.5, and add on 250 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. He is a force to be reckoned with on offense. He has led this Notre Dame team, and I expect him to perform very well in this game against Clemson. And at the same time, you've got an effective running game, which is just as important. Dexter Williams is averaging 6.6 yards per carry. He has 941 total rushing yards and 13 total touchdowns. Good luck to anyone trying to defend that. I mean, how can you contain a running back averaging nearly 7 yards per carry? Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's going to be a very difficult task for this Tiger defense. And when you add in an effective quarterback, someone like Ian Book, it's going to be downright impossible for Clemson to contain Notre Dame on offense. But here's the thing. Clemson has the 4th best offense in the entire nation. So what I expect right off the bat is a shootout. It's going to be an offensive-heavy, offensive-powered game. Now the question is, can Notre Dame outscore Clemson? And that's a tough one to answer right now. What I will say is this. Pay attention to the running game between both teams, because Notre Dame has an amazing running back in Dexter Williams, and Clemson has an amazing running back of their own in Travis Etienne. He's averaging 8.3 yards per carry and has 1,464 total rushing yards. So expect the run game to play a prominent role in the result of the Cotton Bowl. Well, fortunately, we don't have to go about this alone. We have a very special guest coming on. He's not only a Notre Dame football expert, but he played there. He was their starting quarterback for a couple of seasons and led them to a great bowl victory over LSU in 2014. He's been on the show in the past, and I'm looking forward to having him on again today. And at this time, I'd just like to thank you for continuing to support this podcast. I hope you enjoy what's to come. It's now time for our special guest. He began his college football career in 2013 as a redshirt freshman at Notre Dame. After just 1 year, he had won the starting quarterback job and led the Fighting Irish to an upset over LSU in the Music City Bowl. After playing 2 more seasons at Notre Dame, he transferred to Florida, posting a 106 passer rating in 4 games with the Gators. Today, he's an NFL free agent and a host for Overtime Season. Please welcome Malik Zaire to the show. Malik, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
Oh, man, it's so great to be all back on the podcast, being back talking about Notre Dame football and living really good, man. I'm staying away from the snow in California right now, so it's working out pretty good for me.
Well, to start today, Malik, let's get to your Fighting Irish and the season that they've put together thus far. I mean, they're scoring 34 points a game, only giving up 17. Dexter Williams is averaging over 6 yards per carry on offense, and of course, you can't argue with that 12-0 record. What have been your impressions on the 2018 Notre Dame football season?
Man, it's just, I think it's all what we've been waiting for as not only a fan base, but from a team's perspective. You know, I think every year I was there, we were right on the cusp, right on the edge, right on the brink of being brilliant and a great team, which we still had great teams. But this team this year in 2018 is finishing what we all were wanting to get close to. And, I mean, hey, you got superstars all over the field, and it's good to see those young guys develop and blossom into the superstars that they're becoming today, with like you said, with Dexter and Ian and Miles Borgens and Jerry Tillery. I mean, it's really good to see those young guys really become men and take on that great challenge of, you know, going undefeated in the regular season and taking on some of the toughest two games in sports going into the playoffs. So it's good to see you guys do it.
And going back to Dexter Williams, I know that you were both teammates for a couple of seasons, including the 10-3 finish in 2015. How much does it mean to you to see your former teammate on such a big stage now with your alma mater?
It gives you a lot of bragging rights, gets you a lot of room to talk a lot of stuff. You feel really good and proud that, you know, you put in the work and the groundwork for these guys to be so successful today. And, I mean, they've taken on that torch and made it even brighter and made us all so proud as former players and alumni to watch these guys take on those final couple stages to getting what we all been wanting to do, and especially for Notre Dame being the history that we have and that has been so long since we had a national championship, and to see us get that much closer at this time of year is a good feeling outside of Christmas, you know.
Malik Zaire here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Malik, looking ahead to the game tomorrow. Now, Notre Dame is going to have a tough task ahead of them, especially when, you know, they're going up against the fourth best offense in the nation. How can the Fighting Irish pull off the victory against Clemson tomorrow? What are the keys that Notre Dame has to accomplish in order to win tomorrow's game and advance to the national championship?
I think to advance to the national championship for us is going to come to all the things that you can't lack. A lot of that is going to come to the one, the heart and the will. I mean, I think both teams are very talented. I always believe that Notre Dame has some of the best talent every year. And we're going against somebody that also is up and coming, has been proven as a dynasty these last couple of years. But whoever the guys that come out and have the most energy, effort, and attitude, I think is going to be the guys that are going to turn the tide and be the momentum swing in this game. I mean, you can point to so many different aspects and little small details about different teams that, you know, give us the advantage or not the advantage, but I really think it comes down to all the things you can't measure and all the things that's within inside us, and I think, you know, that Notre Dame spirit is going to carry us through on Saturday.
Do you see Notre Dame pulling off the win tomorrow? I mean, if they follow the game plan that you just laid out, are you expecting them to win, or do you feel that Clemson has the edge?
Well, I think everybody is going to give Clemson the edge in general because they just don't give us the faith when we come close to winning stuff as Notre Dame. You know, you either love us or hate us, so nobody's ever going to think we're going to win. But, you know, being in that locker room for 4 years and being around the guys that are playing today, I know that they got that special sauce inside that, you know, they're going to use when it comes down to it to pull out this victory. And I got all the faith in the guys in the locker room, faith in the coaching staff. You know, worst or first, and in a matter of a couple years, I think is a testament to the strength of the team and the program that he builds, and then just to the fact that those guys in the locker room carrying that blue flag tears day in and day out to be on top. I think we've earned the right to be there. Going undefeated is not an easy feat, no matter who you're playing. And, I mean, just to finish off such a great year, you know, you got All-Americans on the field, and I think we can go get the job done. Believe as much as I believe, and I think we'll come out with the win.
You know, for the Fighting Irish as a whole, how far do you realistically see them going in this year's college football playoff? Could we see the Fighting Irish win a national championship? Could we see one return to South Bend this year?
Do you think I'll see us as a national championship this year?
Yes.
I mean, I hope. I think the beautiful thing about, you know, the playoffs is that anybody can win on any given day. And I think that, you know, with the history, it doesn't look too great, you know, being that it's been the Bama Invitational the last couple of years. But, you know, we're in the playoffs for a reason, too. So I believe that we can go get the job done. It's going to take all the right pieces coming together like it is for the other three teams. And, you know, it's just a matter of if we want it. I think that's why it's so hard to bet when you're thinking about statistics and numbers and you know, or whatever's on the paper, because people can have their opinions of things. But, you know, being on the team and being around those guys, I feel a different spirit in deciding on who I think is going to win. I just got the faith that Irish is going to pull it out.
And speaking of bowl season here in college football, I know you yourself not only played in an important bowl game, but miraculously won it for Notre Dame over LSU in 2014. So for these players on Notre Dame right now reaching their first bowl game, what's it like? And how do the high stakes affect in-game performance? I mean, this isn't a regular season game. You're talking about the semifinals of the college national championship. What goes through a player's mind now versus a regular season game?
Well, it's a fresh season. You know, the playoffs is 0-0. You know, all the stuff that you were doing before, it doesn't matter. The second season is where, you know, the real champions and legends are remembered and where they thrive. And, you know, we're at Notre Dame where every day and every game is feels like a playoff game. It feels like a game that, you know, we can lose it all in, because, I mean, it is. We don't play for no conference championship or no standing. We play for the number one goal. So I think that's given us a slight edge going into this next game, is that we know that this has been the goal from the beginning and that the mission hasn't changed. So I think it's just going to require us to really go in there and do what we got to do. I mean, the feeling is like no other. You're not going to get this feeling in any other setting. And it's something that you got to go in and understand that at the end of the day, you got to go do your job and you got to go make things shake. And the more you focus on your job, I think the less worried you are about the situation and the circumstances and more about those guys next to you and getting it done. So I think we'll be all right.
What was it like for you when you played in the Music City Bowl, especially considering that that would end up being your first career college start? You were kind of thrown into the wild there. I mean, having to come in, become your first college start, and then miraculously win the game over LSU. How nerve-wracking was that situation for you?
Well, I didn't think it was a miraculous win. I just thought, you know, I had a chance to finally show, you know, what I've been, you know, waiting to help with the team with, you know, and just that opportunity alone gave me all the confidence, you know, that I needed, especially playing with your best friends. I mean, all those guys on those teams were really my close friends, are really my close friends still, and it made it a lot easier when you're playing with your friends on the field, and they take a lot of pressure off of you to make things happen, and, you know, I knew I could do it, so it's just a matter of time to see, letting everybody else see it, and it wasn't too many nerves. I just wanted to make sure I came out healthy. I think that's anything what you really think about at the end of the day, but, we had a great game. We were firing on all phases, and it was just that different spirit. Like you said, we wasn't excited to win that game, but, you know, we believed, and that's where it started, and it showed on the field, and we ended up winning. So, comes full circle.
You were named the game's MVP in that game, too, and it's unbelievable to think that you came from backing up Everett Golson to winning such an important game. I wanted to ask you, is that the greatest moment in your college football career? And if not, what is?
Yeah, that's definitely a really good moment. I couldn't help but cry after the game, because it's just, you know, proving things to yourself and proving yourself right. I mean, there's no other great feeling that you can have, I feel like. And then getting the win in front of such a great fan base and being around your friends and winning and knowing all the things you had it took to get there, I mean, yeah, that's a great moment in your life. I think the best college moment I think I had with football is just, I think it was the first Texas game. You know, being at Notre Dame Stadium and going through so much and being the starter finally and then having a great game and winning with the guys that you spent a full offseason with, getting prepared with and going to war with, I think was my favorite or my best moment, you know, just being able to help lead the guys to a victory at Notre Dame Stadium. I mean, those are things that you dream of, you know.
Well, speaking of your football career, I know that you had been with the Jaguars during training camp this season, and right now you're an NFL free agent. Since Jacksonville, I wanted to ask, have you been approached by other teams, and what are your prospects for playing in the NFL in the future?
Yeah, I've had a couple workouts with the Cardinals. You know, I live in Arizona, so I've had a couple chances to go up there and work out with those guys during the season and staying in contact. So hopefully I'm shooting for a futures contract for training camp next season or next summer and just preparing for that, man. I got a great opportunity with overtime staying in football while, you know, the season is finishing out. So I'm just staying in shape, getting ready for this next circuit, get my name called and take advantage of opportunities. Going rookie season stuff, doing with pro day and rookie mini camp and everything. I did really well there. So a lot of confidence going in the next summer that we can get something shaking for real.
How much would that mean to you getting to play in the NFL? I mean, you did well in college. You played at a primetime school in Notre Dame. How much would it mean to you to get an opportunity to play in an NFL game?
Man, I mean, that's just something that you work. I'm 23 years old. For 18, 19 years of my life, I've been working for a chance to do that. So obviously, as my life's worked up until this point, it would mean everything, you know, and I know I can play at a high level and an elite level, and just the passion and love I have for the game, I mean, it would just be everything that I had wanted when I was growing up. So, you know, there's still a lot of room for it to happen, and just being ready and staying ready for your opportunity, I mean, it's going to come. I mean, shout out to Taria Folston getting back into football, playing for the AAF. I was so happy for him getting the opportunity to come back and he suffered similar fates to what I did at Notre Dame. And, he had a long road, but it's good to see him finally playing back on the field and he's doing good. So, Tarion is doing it. I know that spirit can still live and me too. And so y'all in the same boat pushing for the same thing.
What's your dream NFL team to play for? I'm just curious. Is there a certain team that you have crossed off that you'd be like, wow, I'd love to play for them?
Jacksonville, because that's my favorite team growing up in the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, they're doing well, so you don't really talk about teams doing well right now. But I liked them when they had Trent Green. So this is way before Pat Mahomes and all those guys, you know. So I'm a huge Chiefs fan, but I don't talk about it now that they're winning. But I'm still a Jacksonville fan as well, too.
And before we let you go today, Malik, you're now a host for Overtime Season. I know you mentioned it before, a football-based show on YouTube. Tell me about your experience as a host and how more people can check out your content.
Oh, man, Overtime is just such a blessing. It's definitely the ESPN of the younger generations. We're all on every social media platform, at Overtime, at Overtime Season. Or you can go to my page, Malik Zaire, and I'll be posting videos and just keeping people in tune. I mean, the whole thing is to push the lifestyle of the younger sports generation that it's just water sports and, you know, we can have fun with it and show off top talent as well as have some good features on guys and just the experience of the youth. I mean, you know, everything is social media these days, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, we have a huge following on there. We got some great videos and we repost people's videos and we'll come to your town. We travel a lot. We'll be at the playoffs. We'll be at the final game, so you catch us out there, say what's up to your boy, and, you know, we'll make some stuff happen. So it's been going good for me.
Well, Malik, thank you so much for being here on the show. Really appreciate you coming back on and hope to have you on again in the future.
Appreciate you so much, brother. Thanks for having me as always.
What an honor it was to have Malik Zaire back on the show today as we talked about Notre Dame and their national championship chances, his amazing collegiate career, plus his new hosting job on Overtime Season. Malik is always a very fun interview, and it was really nice to have him on, especially because many of the players on the current Notre Dame team he was teammates with. And as he mentioned earlier in the interview, he's still friends with them, he still talks with them regularly. So a perfect guy to have on and bring us inside that locker room in lieu of the big game tomorrow. Well, that'll do it for us today at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the website. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago and every podcast from the 2018 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to check out my new radio show, every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. Each show features my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions, plus various special guests from the sports world. Again, that's every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.